Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. It is rainy. It is miserable as John and I sit down to record this latest episode of Hockey at the Rock. Thank you all for joining us. My anger has slightly subsided over witnessing the disaster that I did on Friday. But before we get to all of that, how you doing, John?
Dan, I got a lot of problems with the New Jersey Devils right now. And the people who matter, you're all going to hear about them.
Yeah, well, 'tis the season to voice all of our grievances with this team that, I mean, again, I had the misfortune of being there on Friday when they lost to a team that had had zero road wins going into that game.
Zero!
That had scored a combined 6 goals in their 10 road games before that one.
6!
And in this game, they put in 6 goals, doubling their total for the year. As the Devils lose to a team they have no business losing to in an effort that they totally deserve to lose. There looked like there was not a single person in focus. It looked like the 2019-20 Devils in the sense that plenty of possession, plenty of shots, but most of them were weak. And every single opportunity San Jose had seemed to go in the back of the net. There was a stretch where they were stuck on 11 shots for a long period of time. And the next shot they got was immediately a goal and you knew it was going to be.
Of course it was a goal because, Dan, I know that goal. You want me to break it down? Let me hit you with this.
Well, I'm just saying it's like shades of the late 2010s Devils. It's like all the possession in the world means nothing if you are flubbing every single shot. It was remarkable how they were fighting the puck all night long. They could not get Goodwood on a shot to save their lives. But also, whenever they did, Kokkonen was there, and he has a remarkable save percentage against the Devils in his career. But, you know, every shot either was off the heel of a stick, it missed the net. There was too many people trying to be too fancy too many times.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what's worse, Dan, is that this comes on the heels of 2 W's, an actual winning streak, a big comeback win over the Islanders, where that third period showed the Devils team seemingly going, all right, enough of this nonsense. We're going to lock it down and we're going to hit back, come back from 2-4-0 to win 5-4 with less than 30 seconds left. Thank you, Alexander Romanov, for putting the rebound back in the back of the net. Yeah. And then against the Flyers, the Devils blew a 3-1 lead. Brendan Smith contributed heavily to that, got suspended for 2 games as part of that comeback failure. But literally first attack in overtime, the Hughes brothers hook you up for a W. You get the big win within the division. Devils thinking like, okay, we made a mistake when we came back. That's all the story of last season. So you go out there against San Jose, a team who has no business, Dan.
Yeah. Because
they got shut out the night prior to Boston.
Right.
They had no business to come out and play as well as they did.
And there's
no
excuse.
Which was often terrible, but still bad.
There's no excuse for the Devils saying that, again, they've been atrocious in the second half of back-to-backs this season. I don't know what happened between last year and this year where they just cannot perform in the same situation where they banked a lot of points last year. And this year, again, it's It's a team that they have no business losing against. And while Luke Hughes had a great game against Philadelphia, I think he arguably had his worst game as a Devil against San Jose. He was terrible. And the roller coaster of emotions that the Devils fans went through before this game even started. Let's not forget that earlier in the day, it was announced that Dougie Hamilton had successful left pectoral surgery, and he will be out for the for an indefinite period of time based on Travis Zajac's similar procedure. It was something like 3 months, 4 months, but still, it's a very long time to be without a top pairing defenseman. Then we heard that Eric Halla is also out, but maybe traveling with the team. We heard that Noshek is out and also indefinitely
with a foot surgery, not what Jacob Trouba did to him.
And then in that same breath, we heard that Timo Meier would be returning for the San Jose game. And I have to say, he was terrible. Terrible.
That first goal against was all on him. He lost the big board battle, lazily backcheck. That ain't an $8.8 million to the cap player. That's garbage hockey for Mr. Meier.
To me, I have not seen Luke Hughes make so many boneheaded mistakes in the same game. And again, I know he was paired with Simon Nemec, which he was one of the bright spots in the game offensively. Certainly, you can see why the Devils picked him up for his offense. But again, rookie mistakes were made in the back. That sequence on the fifth goal was truly, truly abhorrent by all three players involved. Yeah, that was
a triumvirate of failure between Mr. Hughes, Mr. Nemec, and Mr. Schmid, who, Dan? Schmid was brilliant.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. Don't give me that, oh, he gave up three goals nonsense.
No.
44 saves and 47 shots.
Yeah.
He did his damn best out there. You wanted great goaltending from a goaltender, Schmid gave it to you. Mr. Lindy Ruff had the bright idea to say, yeah, I'll start him back-to-back. He may be exhausted, but I don't trust Vanacek that much.
Well,
may shock you.
Right?
Schmid was terrible.
But it's not that it was a bad idea, I think, in a vacuum because of how bad Vanacek's been. This is the problem that they're facing. Whereas they had a problem before on, like, there's too many prospects to fit not enough spots. In terms of the rest of the roster, they seemingly cannot get a goaltender to make a save. They just can't.
Well, they got plenty of saves in Philly.
Yeah.
And because Vanacek kept being leaned on because, hey, the Devils won in spite of him a number of times in November, Ruff basically drove Vanacek to the dirt to the point where you don't trust him against a team who has only six goals on the road all season.
Horrible.
So, you know, this was, you know, Ruff took a big risk here. I get it. You don't trust your goalie in Vanacek, but you take that risk and it blew up in your face. And he has the audacity to go to the press afterwards and say, well, we needed a save. My dude, you picked the goalie. You stuck with him after it was 3-1. You could have justified saying, hey, guys, you guys are playing in a fog right now. I'm switching goalies. Maybe that'll wake you up. You could have done that. You could have done that. But instead, Mr. Ruff, you know, he's going on about, and let's be real, Dan, the Devils need better goaltending. At no point am I saying they don't. But what have we heard from Mr. Fitzgerald earlier this month about that very same topic? What did he say, Dan?
Oh, I don't even remember. It's been something of the same conversation of, like, we don't even know what's out there. We trust our guys. And do you stop doing that?
Well, the main point of the quote was, I need to see our team play better in front of the goalies first.
I mean, he's also not wrong there.
And he's not wrong. I can almost guarantee, Dan, the private conversations, because you got to not think that Lindy Ruff is going, Tommy, look, I can't work with these goalies. They're terrible. And Tommy is probably responding in some way of saying, Lindy, the team's not playing well. Like, John Marino is literally giving pucks away for goals against. You're having turnovers in your own end. Jonas Siegenthaler doesn't know what defense is on some shifts. Guys aren't back-checking.
Giveaways. Yesterday, I have to say, the Hughes brothers in particular, and despite Jack having two really bad periods to start the game, he still scored an electric goal and still got them within one.
Exactly.
You know, despite all that. And that's just the talent that he has. But the problem is he was just trying to do too much. He would often try to dangle through three people. It was not working. It was never working. And their power play, well, it scored on the first attempt. It wasn't the first unit. That first unit was entirely off all night.
Yeah, you got a poor game from the big deal. You got a poor game from Jesper Bratt. You had a really bad game from Timo Meier. Dawson Mercer at least was trying. He backchecked on the Duclair goal that John Holtz Marino helped create. Holtz, you know, did his best, which he has been doing. McLeod got benched, which, okay, McLeod wasn't doing very well. Yeah. But, like, he was nowhere near any of the problems in the game. But, again, going back to what I was about to say, was that those private conversations – if Tom Fitzgerald, the GM, is telling Lindy, hey, your guys are not playing as well as they could in front of the goalies, I can't get you a goalie until you do that. That's a divide right there. That's going to end with somebody leaving their job. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, it ain't going to be Tom Fitzgerald.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean,
so
again,
the Devils are in this situation where, yes, in a perfect world, you go out and you get goaltender X. You know, you get some guy who's going to give you that decent level of goaltending to give you wins where Vanacek and Schmid, to a lesser extent, have not. Great. But has that happened? No. So until then, you got to work with what you have. If that means changing goalie coaches, do that. If it means really sitting down John Marino and Jonas Siegenthaler to say, hey, you guys need to actually get your heads out of your butts and play some defense like you did last season, do that. If it means sitting everybody down saying, from now on in two-on-ones, you pick a man instead of a ghost in the middle of them, which again happened in the San Jose game. That was your 12th shot against Anthony Duclair, wide open on the left. Jonas Siegenthaler covering a ghost in the middle. You got to do something with what you have. And right now, this is a team where 22 games in the season, and we're talking about the same nonsense we were talking about a month ago.
And 2 years ago, again, they haven't.
And 2 years ago.
It's seemingly they haven't had competent goaltending since Corey Schneider was untimely, one of the best, like in an untimely fashion, one of the best goalies in the entire league when the rest of the roster wasn't ready. I mean, now they're just every single opportunity ends up in the back of the net. It's not that they're, you know, bad goals to allow necessarily every time, but man, the point is to like be there to make a save, right? Like you need a little bit more, but the defensive attention and effort has been like, there's not just two rookies that are now going to be charged with leading everything. It's like they're all rookies, which I don't understand. Yeah. I mean, the decline of Siegenthaler and Marino has really, really hurt this team.
Yeah, and if you want to talk in a good example of, you know, how you can make up for poor goaltending, look at Carolina. They actually have a worse team save percentage than the Devils right now, if you can believe it. Like the Devils are 31st, Carolina's in 32nd. Carolina has three more wins and six more points than the Devils. Carolina has guys that go out there and lock things down. Their defensive efforts, like Carolina has done for the last 5 years, have locked it down. They condense the nonsense as much as possible when Kochetkov or Niemi or Anderson are hurt or not playing well. That's the big difference here. When Schmid and Vanacek aren't playing well, the Devils are not doing enough to help their goalies out. Los Angeles is another example where Phoenix Copley has been all that bad, hasn't all that great. Cam Talbot hasn't been all that great. LA shelters them as much as possible, so they go out there and get road wins all over the place, and as such, you know, are in contention for a playoff spot, whereas a team like New Jersey is looking at the wrong end of the standings here. I'm frustrated, Dan, because there are fixable things here. Get to a point where the goalies are truly your only major problem, and I'm sure Fitzgerald will then give you a goaltender. You got to stop helping the San Jose Sharks get breakaways. You got to stop helping the Islanders let Cal Clutterbuck piling pucks. You got to stop letting the Philadelphia Flyers get power plays at the end of games because Brendan Smith is too much of a macho man to not slash Konecny elbow.
Well, if the goaltending's been so bad since Schneider, I still don't understand how every single coach was swapped out except for that one. It makes no sense to me. What does he have on the team?
Yeah, because David Rogalski's got to go.
They don't even – it feels like on some – their rebound control is terrible, both of them. Their decision-making is just not very good in their own zone. And it just looks like they just – have trouble adjusting to like big lateral movements, and there are goalies that are capable of making the post to post save. It shouldn't be like it's a goal every time situation. You should get a save at least some of the time. And even still, even if you want to look at like the emotional impact of getting that save, that hypes the team up. And if it does the opposite, if every single shot goes in the back of your net, I mean, again, Hughes looked frustrated the entire time against San Jose, and he still scored a goal and led most of the play. I mean, in third period, he was his usual self, but it was very clear that everybody was frustrated, and the fans especially. I mean, it's not to be watching that. It looked like they were skating through mud a lot of the time. Every opportunity went on the vine. They were trying to force their way through three lanes of traffic, and so many shots were hitting feet. Just so many shots.
Or they're settling for 50-60 foot prayers at Kokkonen, just easily gloves and raises glove in there. Almost with like, no screen. Thanks, bro. Easy play.
Unscreened glove save. It's just like nothing particularly threatening. So again, they have a lot to think about. They could have gone on this West Coast road trip on a 4-game win streak. Now they have to think about the fact that they will be facing A Vancouver Canucks team that they're historically good against, but that has been way better than them this year. And we have a Hughes per bowl going on over there.
Yeah, Quinn Hughes has been fantastic this season.
He's been excellent. And then we go to Calgary, who has not been the most comfortable opponent for the Devils.
Well, hold on.
Then, Edmonton first.
Seattle, Thursday.
Seattle first. Okay, sorry. Vancouver, then Seattle. And Seattle, again, not an easy opponent, especially in Seattle. That's a tough building to play in if you're not, if you're coming from far away.
Well, this is probably the season to do it, because right now Vancouver is one of the highest scoring teams in the league, which is not good for a team with the goaltending and defensive issues of the Devils right now. Mm-hmm. Seattle's only 4-6-1 at home. They've actually given up a lot of goals. So if there's a time to beat Seattle in Seattle, this is the season to do it, because they are not having a good time over there. It's not like last season for them. Right. But the Alberta games, the back-to-back afternoon games, no less, 4 p.m. starts local time. Calgary has not sunk for some reason. You know, they're sitting in the middle of that division, 10-11-3, just ahead of Seattle. They're not good, but they're not dead awful either. But then again, the Devils lost 6-3 to the Sharks, so you can't take anybody.
Who are we to say who's good or not?
And Edmonton is playing for their lives at this moment. They're currently on a 4-game winning streak. They almost need to go on a 13-game heater to get back into contention. Mm-hmm. So you know that Edmonton game is not going to be easy either, as if it ever is with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl alone.
Exactly. So again, you could have been going into this with some serious momentum, could have dispatched an opponent easily. And again, they did a lot to try to score. I mean, the shot opportunities were like 103 to like 39, something like that. The shots themselves were in the 40s to 18, but you absolutely cannot expect to win games if you allow 6 goals on 18 shots. That is untenable. That is a 666 save percentage, a very devilish number. But also, I mean, I guess it's technically not that, since one of them was an empty net, but whatever. It's 666 save percentage. When the league average is hovering around like 890 to 900, you are not going anywhere. You are not doing anything with that.
Yeah, and as I've pointed out many times, the Devils have helped the Sharks get those goals. Mm-hmm. Like, whether that's a turnover, a lack of coverage, a lost board battle, lazy backchecking, that game had it all. And it was even a problem against the Islanders and the Flyers, too. Well, maybe less so against the Flyers. The Flyers game was actually – there are defensive issues with the fact they just bled like 47 shots, which in of itself is a problem. Mm-hmm. But the Islanders, the Devils went – you know, they made the great comeback, but that's always been the dual-edged sword. Why do you need to make a 3-goal comeback in the third period to win the game? Because you went down 4-2, you were up 2-1, and then you decide, well, I'm going to let Barzal go off on a breakaway. Brendan Smith gets benched for that, by the way. I'm sorry, Colin Miller got benched for that. For the rest of the period, you know, John Marino ambles around like nothing. Cal Clutterbuck scores, and then nobody covers Jean-Gabriel Pageau, the diver, to score his first of the season. Like, all within quick succession, you're down 4-2. You know, you change your goalie, cool, but at that point, it's like you shot yourselves in the foot once again. The only difference is that the Devils made the comeback, because Sorokin was terrible that game. Kakkonen, on the other hand, was much better.
Yeah. And he, again, Kakkonen always seems to have a good game against the Devils. He's now 3-1-0 against them with like a 950 or above save percentage. So
maybe Tom Fitzgerald needs to call Mike Greer again and say, give me Kakkonen. What do you want? Actually, Seamus Casey?
my next question for you is exactly that. Now that, you know, the Devils already had around $4 million in space to work with. Yeah. But now with Dougie Hamilton having a longer term injury and Thomas Noshek being out, they can put some people on long-term injured reserve and chase pretty much whoever they want. So, John, my question to you is very simple. Who do they want?
They need to get a goaltender. You know, this. I'm glad they didn't jump on the Nikita Zadorov train, because in my opinion, while Zadorov, sure, he could help in some regards, but he's basically a much better Brendan Smith or a more physical and expensive Colin Miller. You already have Brendan Smith and Colin Miller. Brendan Smith has actually played pretty well up until his stupid slashing penalty that cost the team a point and got him a suspension.
Yep.
That being said, you know, and also the trade was made such that, you know, keep in mind, he requested the trade, so Calgary wasn't going to get a lot in return. Mm-hmm. And the big difference was that Vancouver could take on the salary without any retention. So Calgary was going to take that deal, whereas with New Jersey or any other team, Calgary have to retain some salary, and obviously they don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So I know the discussion has moved to someone like Chris Tanev. Maybe you hope for Noah Hanifin, which I think would be way too much money. I don't think you should do that. You need a goaltender. Like, this isn't rocket science here. As much as I've been saying, fix your defense, stop, you know, turning the puck over, stop doing the bad pinches, stop helping the other team score goals. Don't make it easy for them, because they've been making it easy for the Islanders and the Flyers and the Sharks and all these other teams the Devils have lost and even won against to score goals. Help your goalies out. You got to get a goalie, because if you don't trust Vanecek, and they clearly don't, and they don't think a whole lot of Akira Schmid, Nico Daws is not going to come in and save this team. Eric Karlgren is not going to come in and save this team. Keith Kincaid definitely isn't. Get a goalie. You got to get a goalie. So, get Kakinen. Call up at Nashville for Askarov. Find out what Wallstedt may cost you. You got to do something. I'd like to think Tom Fitzgerald is right now, and maybe for the last 3 weeks, been hitting the phones. But the problem with that is that, one, when you start doing that, you make it clear that you're desperate and teams will take advantage of that. And two, the Devils are not the only team looking for a goaltender. It's actually a somewhat crowded market in terms, you know, there's more buyers than there are sellers, and that's going to make it very hard to swing a deal. But the Devils have to get, either they have got to fix the goaltending internally or get a goaltender. And honestly, I'm at the point where it's like, you know, we're 22 games in the season. Lindy Ruff isn't fixing this. So you may have to fire Lindy Ruff, but you really need to get a better goalie coach and a different goaltender. You just have to.
Yeah, and that's that. You know, it's one of those things where they were trying. They were basically going for volume in terms of drafting goalies. So it's not the lack of opportunity for someone to improve in the system. It is something about the structure of the system itself that is causing every goalie they draft to not be a viable NHL candidate. There has to be something to that. Other teams can find goalies in the third, fourth, fifth round. The Devils drafted them in the second and third, somewhere around there usually.
Yeah, Schmid is their best success right now.
And again, they were drafting a goalie per year consistently, and none of them have panned out. That feels, well,
Schmid,
I mean, yeah. Well, sure, but like, did you know Schmid, to whatever extent he did, he's still not like the answer fully, it seems, right?
No, I mean, that's again, I want to be a little sympathetic to him, because he should not have started that San Jose game. I think that was, but your point is well taken. Do you trust me to be your number one guy? The answer is clearly no. So you need to go out there and find that somehow.
And the fact that you need to do that is an indictment of the system itself, I'm saying.
Yeah, the development system has not been kind. Like, goaltending is this big black box, even for the analytics community. A lot of otherwise smart people just throw up their hands and go, it's voodoo, I don't understand it, which is, you know, the opposite of a scientific approach to learning anything. But the Devils, similar to Carolina for many years, because it's been their big problem, is how do you find a goaltender? Yeah. And how do you trust that that goaltender is legit, or they're just a subject of variation, which they're finding out the hard way with Pyotr Kochetkov and Scott Darling before him.
So
well, they didn't have Vitek Vanacek.
No, I mean, the Devils are finding out with Vitek, because they paid him, right?
Yeah, and he was decent last season.
Yep.
So what happened? I don't think he forgot how to play goaltender, but I think a lot of things that went right last season have not, and Vanacek is one of them.
Agreed.
And Schmid, unfortunately, is one of them. And when your goaltenders are not giving you the saves, and the defense, like Marino, Siegenthaler, Hamilton, to an extent as well, are not helping you defensively. Ball has also not improved all that much either, which has not helped either. A lot of things that went right are going wrong, and it ends up in GAs. So again, something's got to change here, and Chris Tanev is not going to fix it. You need to go out there and get yourself a goalie, or hell, just fire Dave Rogalski and get a different goalie coach. And at least this way you could say, look, we're doing something different behind the scenes. It might help, because currently your current status quo is not working, Dan. Yeah, it's just not working.
That's more what I'm saying. Like, at least try something, you know? Yeah. Like, at least try that, because that seems like the easiest move to make, that's the least disruptive overall, and addresses a clear problem area for anyone. Like, no one is going to question that move being made right now. They'd question Lindy Ruff, I think, with how successful last season was in general, and like it being at this point in the season. They definitely question Fitzgerald with the moves that he's made.
Yeah.
But they would not question firing Dave Rogalski. I don't think anyone would really bat an eye, and they would look at the numbers and see that this year, somehow, the Devils goalies have managed to be worse than the year when they used seven of them. How is that possible?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to me, because we're talking about a positional coach here. Like, this is not the guy that, you know, I'm going to rack my brain if we find out that the Devils staff and management are going to die on the Dave Rogalski hill. That just sounds baffling to me, Dan.
weird. But
like especially when you look at other sports where, hey, your offense isn't working, we'll fire the offensive coordinator in football. Yeah. Oh, this isn't working in soccer, we'll change trainers, we'll do something, we'll buy 18 players in January. You know, in baseball, you know, there's all sorts of positional and specialist coaches that move all over the place. Basketball is littered with coaches and assistants getting moved all the time in addition to the players. But for some reason, this Devils organization, an organization where traditionally being a coach did not have a long lead time because the level of expectation was that much higher. It's almost as if, oh, no, we can't. We got to stick with this guy. We got to stick with the staff as it is, as if, you know, the players are going to just figure it out. You're 22 games in. You don't want to – you can lose an entire season right now.
If December goes badly, you have no reason not to change coaches.
Yeah. This November was a bad month for the Devils, Dan. Yeah. They may have won the last three games of it, but they went 6-7. They only took 12 points. They're sitting seventh in the division. Yes, they're only 3 points behind third place, but they're also behind four other teams. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so hard to catch up in this league. If the Devils did beat San Jose like they should have, they'd be in sixth right now, but they would at least be 1 point behind the three teams ahead of them in the Islanders, Flyers, and Capitals. That would be more tenable. But when you drop games like San Jose and you don't extend your winning streaks, and mind you, this upcoming road trip could be real nasty, Dan. Like, this could go real bad. Like, maybe, you know, you'd be lucky in a sense if you go 2-2, but the Devils are not in a position where they can afford to do that. They need to win these trips. They need to win these weeks to get back up because it is so hard to catch up. So if you go out there and have another 6-7 like December, that's your season, my dude. Mm-hmm. That is your season. And that it would be such a disappointment given the level of talent, given the amount of money that was spent, given the amount of expectations that they've earned, that we're even in this situation. It's like we went back two seasons, Dan. Yeah. And that makes no sense given you have a top 10 goals, you know, point scorer in Jack Hughes. You have Jesper Bratt, who, okay, he could be more consistent, but he's giving you points. Mm-hmm. Nico Hischier is now healthy. So your top guys, your top forwards are all back. You're going to get Eric Halla back too soon. The only major injury right now is going to be Dougie Hamilton and Thomas Noshek's foot. I'm sorry to Mr. Noshek and his family, but you're not that critical to the organization at the moment here. Mm-hmm. You're finally getting to health, and this is your team.
Yeah. Well, I think at this point we're just kind of circling and saying the same things over and over again.
I'm ranting like Frank Costanza here, but, you know, I got a lot of grievances. My voice is shot, but, you know, I try to fire Lindy Chant at the Friday game. That's not why my voice is shot. It's because of a cold. And, of course, I failed just like the Devils did last night. And most of the fans left early anyway, because why would they want to stick around on a cold, rainy night in December to watch their team lose 6-3 as opposed to 5-3?
Yeah, I know. We're all feeling the effects of that. So hopefully they start turning things around on this road trip. At this point, like you said, they can't really afford to not win weeks. So we're hoping that they start turning things around. And if not, we'll see where they go from there.
Right.
Again, we're all incredibly disappointed, but it's still the first quarter of the season, theoretically.
No, you're past it. It's 22 games.
Yeah, but like, you know,
I know still what you close mean. It's still there's a lot of hockey left to be played.
Yeah, but it's getting late pretty early.
Yeah, the only solace I could have, and I'll quote somebody from the site in the recap that says, I will be only okay with this loss if it spurns the Devils to go out there and stomp through the rest of the month.
Yeah.
Which I would say fine. If you have to lose 6-3 and realize, okay, you guys, your poop does stink, go play better hockey. Cool. I can accept that. But right now, I'm not seeing it, Dan.
And again, in a vacuum, two wins in a stretch of three games and four nights is pretty good, except when you consider what happened.
Exactly. You know.
So, all right, I think that brings us to the end of this episode. We'll let you get some rest and recover your voice, and I will do the same for mine. Everyone's feeling under the weather. So stay safe, stay healthy out there, and hopefully we get to watch more Devils wins in the month of December. Thank you all for joining us, and let's go Devils.
See you next time.